Book of Acts in your Bibles. I want to consider some thoughts about the mission field and a call to the mission field. In Acts chapter 16, we come upon Paul the Apostle there, of course, and he's in the middle of a missionary journey. He has all kinds of plans. You ever have plans that got interrupted? He has things all figured out. And he knows what he's going to do, where he's going to go, how he's going to do it. But God interrupted his plans. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 5, we'll start there. Acts chapter 16 and verse 5, it says, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for tonight. Thank you for the wonderful music. Thank you for the good crowd tonight. Lord, we ask your blessing upon our service. Lord, we pray as we look at the way you change the direction and life of the Apostle Paul, that you help us to understand that certainly you have the right and privilege to be able to make those changes in our lives. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to see what you did in the life of the Apostle Paul, and Lord, how you can take us and use us for your honor and glory. We'll give you the praise for what you accomplished now. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul was a busy missionary. Paul, probably the finest example of a missionary in history. He literally, personally, affected all of the areas of the North Mediterranean basin. Some say he went as far as England and Spain. I don't know if that's true or not. The Bible doesn't say he went that far. But some say that there's evidence that he did go as far as Spain and as far north as into Great Britain. But he certainly affected the world in that day. In Acts chapter 16, it's a turning point in his ministry. He really had, before this time, basically served in the northern part of Israel, up into what's now Lebanon and Syria, a couple of islands in the Mediterranean, and in Turkey, which they call Asia Minor in the Bible. And he comes to the place where, in the middle of this missionary journey, he has plans of what he's going to do. We see that churches were established, churches in Derbe, Iconium, Lystra. These churches in Asia Minor, they were established. They weren't perfect churches by any means, but they had established, folks were saved, the churches were growing and maturing. And Paul said, okay, now the churches are established, they have local pastors who are pastoring the churches, now it's time for me to move on and to begin ministry in other places. His natural inclination, of course, was to continue his work in Asia Minor, been a very fruitful ministry there. And so he thought it reasonable the next step was to go east into Asia Minor, instead of the churches along the seacoast there, to go further back into what's now Turkey, and there to continue to establish churches and to work. Do you know what seems reasonable to us is not always God's plan? And so, Paul, we see here in verse 6, he were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, it's not Asia as we think of Asia now, as we call the Near East. It's not Asia, it's not China, Japan, the Philippines, it's not there. But to go further east into Turkey, he said, the Holy Spirit said, I don't want you to go there. Now, that doesn't mean that God wasn't concerned about the souls that lived in the eastern part of Turkey. He certainly was. But, you know, God always fits a man to a ministry. I was thinking, we're going to spend time later on talking a lot more about St. Lucia. But I was thinking as we were down there, as I've known the Bartleys, known Wes and Faith Bartley, Wes Bartley has had kind of a varied career before he went to the mission field. He went to Bible college. I taught him for a time in the Bible college, and he was not the greatest student. But believe it or not, when I went to Bible college, I wasn't the greatest student either. After that, he spent time as a long-haul truck driver, driving rigs up and down the highways. Then he started his own roofing business and spent time doing that. But all that time, God was working on his heart. And in his late 40s, he came to a time of a Macedonian vision. Now, he didn't have a vision from God, and dreams had come over to St. Lucia and help us. But God worked on his heart. God prepared him. God could have continued to use him there in Greater Toronto for quite a while, but God called him to go to St. Lucia. Paul thought the next reasonable step was to go east into Asia Minor. And so they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost said no. Aren't you thankful for people that are sensitive to the Spirit of God? Sensitive when God says no. We like it when God says yes, don't we? We get an idea and we think this would be a wonderful thing to do and all this. And we just feel that confirmation of the Holy Spirit. We talk to people and people say, yes, that's a great thing. We don't like when people tell us no. My wife and I went out to lunch today. We don't often do that on Sunday afternoon, but we went to lunch today. And there was a child in there. I don't know for sure, but I think somebody told that child no. The whole restaurant knew that child was unhappy with that decision. We get that way sometimes. When God doesn't like our plans. God says, no, my plan is better than your plan. But I thought this all through. So Paul sought then new areas to go. He thought, well, I'll go to Bithynia. This is the northwest part of Asia Minor, further north than he was. I'll go up to Bithynia. Hope that's not one of your cars. You hear it going off? Yeah. Vern's checking his keys. So Paul said, I'm going to go to Bithynia. And again, the second time, God says, no. You know, we have to be open to God's leading. It says the Holy Spirit suffered them not. First they were forbidden, then the Holy Spirit suffered. Look at them go. I've never had a backdoor revival like this before. Look at them go. It stopped. Be open to God's leading. I'm thankful for missionaries, whether they be young or old, who are open to the leading of God. Who say, I'm going to disturb my life. I'm going to disturb my security. I'm going to disturb the things that I'm comfortable with. For you see, Paul was comfortable in Asia Minor. It was a people and culture he was familiar with. Paul was comfortable in Syria, in Lebanon. He was comfortable in those areas. They were a people and culture he was familiar with. But we find that Paul sought new areas to spread the gospel, and as he did, God again said, no, you're not going to Bithynia. I don't know. You see, we come to verse 9. It says, there appeared a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Did you ever go to sleep thinking about something and then dreamed about it? I have all kinds of dreams. I'm not going to tell you about some of them. But I have all kinds of, I go to sleep thinking about something, and it's likely that I probably will, if it's something of importance the next day and something that I'm concerned about and care about, that I'll have a dream about it. Now, God doesn't lead today through dreams. I've had dreams about some strange things. I told my wife at lunch today, I had a dream last night about when we were in our 20s, we're at a college campus, and in the middle of the year at Christmas time, we had to leave that campus and move to another campus. The whole college did. And I don't know how many times over the years I've had dreams about going back, that we're moving back to that campus. I loved it there. It was a great place. And I had a dream again last night about moving back. Now, I don't think that's prophetic, that we're going to get the campus back and I'm going to move back to Memphis, Michigan and live on a college campus again. I don't think that. It was just a dream. It was on my mind. It was on my heart. Some things over the years. God leads today through his word. God leads today through the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. And God confirms His Word, and God confirms the witness of the Holy Spirit with godly men and women who give us counsel on what we should be doing. And so Paul is seeking sincerely. I don't know what all he was thinking about as he went to bed that night. Probably a lot of different things. But he was concerned about the gospel going to the known world. He was concerned about being busy. He didn't want to stop there and do nothing. He said, I have responsibility. I've been commissioned by Jesus Christ to take the gospel into the world. And by the way, haven't we all been commissioned to take the gospel to the world? We do it in different ways. Some take the gospel to the world by packing up, like the hunters, and going halfway around the world. Some take the gospel that way. Some take the gospel by reaching in their pocket and taking out money and giving consistently for the work of missions around the world. Some take the gospel to the world by praying consistently for missionaries, just like we have prayed over the last week for the Rays in China as their three families over there meeting together in a church and the government comes to the church building and it tries to shut the church down, and God intervened and the two young families are safe. They had church there in that same building that the government raided on Sunday. They had church there on Wednesday. And we praise the Lord for that. You see, prayer works. Through prayer, we can change the hearts, the minds, the circumstances of man around the world. People we will never meet. Even the unsaved cannot stand against the power of prayer. God intervenes. Paul said, he knew he had to do something. Sometimes we take the gospel of the world by short-term mission trips. There's groups of people that go on building trips. Jake and Sharon Weber here just a few weeks ago and have told us in the past about groups of men from the United States that come down in building projects, and they keep tools and materials there in Bolivia for them. So when they come, they have all their tools and everything there so they can come and build church buildings for the national pastors there in Bolivia. Some take the gospel that way. Some take the gospel as medical missionaries of going into an area and helping the people with diseases, some with eye problems, some with dental problems, some with physical disease. They go and they assist them in that way and through that way. Then they can preach the gospel to them. But the thing is, folks, we can all do something. We can all do something. I don't know if it's a bold statement or not. If we're not doing something, I wonder, are we in the will of God? Personally, we don't have to go to the mission field. But personally, we are told 5 times in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, that we have a responsibility to take the gospel to the world. Again, it doesn't mean we have to pack up and go halfway around the world. But it means we are to be involved in missions, involved in taking the gospel to the world. As Paul thought about this, I'm sure he prayed much about it. That night he had a vision. In verse 9, and a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, we don't know who this man of Macedonia was. I don't know if he was somebody that Paul later on met. Macedonia was the region there to the north of Greece. And, of course, the gospel from then went down into Greece later on. I don't know if Paul met him later on, or if it was an individual that simply God used to influence Paul. But God was drawing Paul's attention to a need he may not have already known. His focus was to the east, not to the west. God said, turn around and look at this. There is a need here. There are people here with a need. There are those who will listen to the gospel here in Macedonia. They said it's out of Paul's comfort zones. Different people, different culture, different languages. It was out of his comfort zone. But we see that there was an immediate response to that need. After he had seen the vision, verse 10, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. I like that word, immediately. There's an old saying, obedience deferred is obedience denied. There was not a question in Paul's mind that God had called him through this vision to go to Macedonia. Paul could have, like we do sometimes, say, well, Lord, you know what? Let me get to all this and do this. Now, I understand doing things decently, Lord. I understand that. But Paul was looking for a place to go. He was looking for something to do. You know, often our problem with taking the gospel not only to the world, but to our neighbors, the next door, to the people we see, is we're not looking for folks to take the gospel to. We're not looking for people that have needs. He says, immediately. Notice the word after immediately. We. Now, of course, Luke is writing the book of Acts. Luke was traveling with him on this journey. Luke was not the only one. Later on, we see others, you know, Timothy and others joined in. There probably were 4 or 5 or 8 men who traveled together in this missionary band. Let me just say something. It's a bit of a hobby horse with me. But I believe the scriptural method of taking the gospel is to send teams to a place. I believe the scriptural method, you know, if Paul, the greatest missionary, we say this over and over, that ever lived, did not, the only place we find Paul alone is in Athens, while he's waiting for other men to catch up with him. He always took, you know, when you're alone, it's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? When you're alone, it's easy to be tempted. When you're alone, it's easy to quit. When you're alone, it's easy to be lazy. We've all gone through all those things. What did Solomon say in the book of Ecclesiastes? A threefold cord is not easily broken. I'm glad that the littles are going to St. Lucia there to work in the same place. We'll look a little bit more about that country in a bit. With the Bartleys. Now, there are some other Christians there, but their national pastors, another pastor from the Dominican Republic is there working in churches. There have been some pastors from the United States there before. But I think it's essential, especially for young families, for young men, to go to some place where there's someone a little bit older, to travel together. We endeavored. Paul didn't travel alone. And again, that next word is interesting too. We endeavored. What's endeavor mean? To diligently seek after something. To diligently seek after something. Not just to take a casual look around at something, but to diligently look after area after area after area. Look at individual after individual after individual. Look at circumstances, see problems, see difficulties, see opportunities. You see, it wasn't just a game or a weekend activity for them to go into Macedonia. It was work. It was a life's work. And they said, we're going to diligently seek to spread the gospel. Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Assuredly, gathering the Lord had called us. Notice what he called us for, is to preach the gospel unto them. To preach the gospel. You know, there are a lot of needs around the world. We think of the devastation the hurricanes have done in the Caribbean just in recent weeks. We see of earthquakes in parts of the world that cause devastation beyond our imagination. We see of health crises in Africa. They're all legitimate needs. But the greatest need of mankind is not a physical need, but it's the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But you know what? I understand that sometimes in order to preach the gospel to someone, you have to meet a need. Think about Jesus and his ministry. We've talked about this quite a bit before. Jesus went about doing good. He left people better than he found them. We know that Jesus raised the widow of Nain, raised her son from the dead. It wasn't that her son might be raised from the dead, although that was important. It was that in doing that, he might have a chance to preach the gospel. His first miracle was to turn water into grape juice at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. He met a need, but he met a need so that they might understand he was the Messiah, the one giver of life. He healed the sick over and over again. I don't know how many thousands of people he healed during his lifetime. But his goal was not just to heal the sick, because if he only healed the sick and they lived and they died and went to a crisis eternity, it was all for naught. But he healed the sick that they might listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He fed the multitudes on the shore of Galilee, 5,000 men besides women and children. Fed a great, probably 20,000 people. He didn't do that just so he could have a record for feeding people with loaves and fishes. Held the world's record. No, he did it because they would listen to him. Listen to the good news of salvation. You see, sometimes we have to go someplace and we have to help with food, with drug addictions, with alcohol problems, with social problems, with family problems. We have to deal with all those things here in Canada and on the mission field so that others might listen to the gospel. But if we do those things, and there are a lot of good agencies, aid agencies in the world, and I'm not taking away from what they do, but their goal is only to meet those physical needs. But we as Christians have a responsibility that goes beyond that. We have responsibility to meet a physical need so that we might meet a spiritual need, or meet a need that they perceive that they have so that we can meet their real need. Paul went and Paul preached the gospel to those that were in Macedonia. If we go on in the book of Acts, we see the accounts of Paul continuing to plant churches in Macedonia. The church at Philippi comes to mind. The church at Corinth down in Greece comes to mind. Other churches that were established that God used in a great way in that first century. Why? Because Paul was obedient to a heavenly vision. See, God calls you and me to take the gospel to the world. God calls each of us in different ways. So I said, God calls all of us to pray. God calls all of us to give. God calls some of us to go maybe for a short-term mission trip to help a missionary in a field in some particular way. Maybe God calls some of us to go and to whatever stage in our life to go to the mission field and commit our life to that. But we all have a responsibility. We have a story to tell to the nations. We have a responsibility. Paul was looking for opportunity. I believe if you look for an opportunity to take the gospel, God will give you that opportunity. I believe if you look for an opportunity to be involved in world missions, God will give you that opportunity. But our problem is, often we get so wrapped up in our own life, in our own endeavors, in our own plans and ambitions, that we don't stop and say, God, what would you have me to do? Paul said, I'm going to go someplace. I'm going to preach the gospel. The Lord changed his plans, changed his direction dramatically. And God brought him down to Macedonia. Our service is a little different tonight because I want to turn now and to consider some thoughts about our trip to St. Lucia. Let me just give a bit of our schedule. We got there on Thursday. And I had talked to the deacons before we left and told them that when I go, that if I see a need that the Bartleys have, that I want the church is going to help them with some needs. The first need I saw is I got a call before I left that they needed a new computer. You ever work with an old computer that only worked half the time? That you hit the button, and after about six times it finally worked? That's where they were. And another church in Ontario gave them the money for a computer. A church in Vancouver added to that money and purchased the computer for them and got it all ready, and I took it down. But I got to St. Lucia, and guess what they wanted? They wanted duty when I brought it into the country. We'll get to that in a minute. They got brought in some duty. So we paid, I forget what it was, about $280 EC dollars. EC dollars are worth about 50 cents Canadian in duty to get that into the country for them. And we went to Dennery that night. That's the city he's working in, and spent time there in an evening service. There were about 21 people in attendance that night. And that night, Pastor Bartley preached that night, led the singing. He preached, and he does a great job. His singing, you'll see a couple pictures of him leading singing, and his preaching, he's going right through the Bible. He was up to the book of Ezekiel on Wednesday night. And have you spotted me there yet? How many of you have seen? How many have spotted me? It's a little bit blurry. I can see me. And now you won't pay attention to what I'm saying. Everybody, find Elmo. Funny, on the way home from church that night, Pastor Bartley, all the people walked to church. Now, some of these dear ladies, there's a dear lady named Una. She has diabetes, has lost part of her foot, and walks with a cane, and walks more than a mile to church on a cane with half a foot. What's our excuse for not coming? My toe hurts. She didn't have a toe anymore. Another lady, she's somebody between 70 and 150. I don't know how old she is. And she walks like this. She walks farther than Una to church, and she won't take a ride home, and she walks back home the same way every day. What's your excuse? What's mine? But two cars met on the road. Fairly new cars. And these roads are narrow. You'll see a picture later on. These roads are narrow, and they met. There was a curve, and they met. And two arrogant young men, neither one would back up. And so they were sitting there. Pastor Bartley says that they do it all the time. They get a new car, they think that they have a right to the road. They have a new car. The other guy has to move. Pastor Bartley got out, and he was being real nice. I waited about 5 minutes. I got out. One fellow had his window down. I said, "Listen, son, I've been up 24 hours. I'm tired, and I'm grumpy. Could you please move your car?" He starts, I said, "Listen, son, I've been up 24 hours, I'm tired, I'm grumpy, could you please move your car?" We got that matter settled, they moved their cars, and we got on. But, you know what? It was great to be there. You know, half the people in this church don't read and write. And so, we'll talk about one of those ladies a little bit later on. Friday, we went to see a shipwreck, you'll see that. Went to the grocery store on Friday. I wanted to live there. It was air-conditioned. It was about 147 degrees. I don't know how, but it was hot. And went to the grocery store, shocked by the prices. We saw a lighthouse and Saturday we went to the west side of the island and saw some called pitons, two large pointed mountains. Saw a church building that BIMI's claim team had worked on. Sunday had the privilege of preaching at 8:30. Their first service starts at 8:30 in the morning. Because it's a little cooler in the morning, so their service at 8:30 and 10 o'clock, done by 11 o'clock in the morning. And went to KFC for lunch. They have KFC there. It was air conditioned. I wanted to live there. It was, I'll tell you. Outside the restaurant was a man named Thomas, tall, gangly guy. He lived in a town that even down there by their standards is called Shantytown. He had to get to town every day. He had to wade across the river. And he would come and beg for food. If you're walking in, he knew Pastor Bartley, and he said, could you give me just a little piece of chicken when you come? Just a little piece of chicken. So he's not allowed in the restaurant. So we got him two pieces of chicken on the way out. Monday we went to Castries in the north. This is the area that the cruise ships come in. We hear somebody going to St. Lucia, and they come on a cruise ship. They come into the north. If they come into St. Lucia by an airplane, they come into the south, not far from the Bartleys. He'll picture the airport later on. But they're immediately taken by bus or by taxi or limousine to the north. Some even go by helicopter to the north. There are where the resorts are. We were there. You know, it's interesting when you get known by... We went into a Payless shoe store. They have those there too. A few weeks before, the Bartleys had been up there, and they saw some shoes that were on sale really cheap. And a lot of the boys in their church don't have shoes. So they found these shoes. So they bought shoes. I don't know how many they bought, six pair at least. They got home and discovered they'd left two pair of shoes someplace. So we went into the store hoping that they'd left them in a shopping cart someplace, and there they were, sitting on the counter, all in a bag, waiting. Guy says, I know you. You bought the shoes. You left them here. He thought it was funny. And so they got the shoes. We met a pastor, Pastor Jesse and his wife. I think they're from the Dominican Republic. And they're serving in a service there. That day we had the privilege of buying an office chair for Pastor Bartley. It cost about $150 Canadian. And he'd been studying sitting in a kitchen chair, pulling the chair back and forth. Have you ever spent much time at a desk trying to use a kitchen chair? And so we were able to do that for them. Tuesday we went to dinner. The place where he has his church, it was hot. Oh, it was hot. It said the hottest day, and you'll see some pictures of me, you'll understand it. It was hot. And I'll tell you more about that later on. Wednesday we went to the grocery store again. I wanted to live there. Waited for the hurricane to come on shore. And there were bad winds all Wednesday night. And then Thursday, of course, we'll tell you more about that. I'll tell you some things I learned. Remember people's names and greet them by name. Pastor Bartley's great at that. Now, down there, they call him Pastor Wes. He'd be driving down the road. His vans don't have air conditioning, so the windows are always open. And you'll hear people say, Pastor Wes! Pastor Wes! And he'll greet them by name. People, and I don't know how he knows all that, but he does. You know, when the Lord lays somebody in your heart, you remember their name. Pitch in where you can in the community. I'll show you something about that later on. Everybody is worthy of your time and attention. Thomas the beggar at KFC. You know, Thomas might not get saved. But you know what? The people in the community that the Bartleys live in know that he cares enough about Thomas to buy him chicken when he goes into KFC. They know there's some, because most people ignore him. I learned that before you send something to a missionary or purchase something, ask what they specifically need. A well-meaning church in the United States set down some windows to it. This is a different church. It wasn't Pastor Bartley's church. To a church that was building a church building. They got through customs, and then through some different circumstances, they sat on the wharf in the container for several months waiting to be cleared from customs. They cleared them through customs, and they went to open the container, and they were wood frame windows. Any of you who've been in the Caribbean know that termites are terrible. In those months, the termites had destroyed the windows. If they got them vinyl windows like these, they'd have been fine. So if we're going to send something to a missionary, we better check, make sure it's what they need, what's usable for them. Those who love those with the least sometimes give most. There were two ladies in the church there. One of them, it was on our coffee table at home, made a little clay pot about that tall. Some of you ladies maybe saw that yesterday at the Bible study. A little pot about that tall. She worked at it, she made it, she formed it, she dried it so that she had something to give away. Another lady, she can't read, But she wanted to learn to crochet, and so she got a book. And by looking at the pictures in the book, she learned to crochet, and she made us some bookmarks for our Bibles. They don't have much to give, but they give what they can. And the thought, minister to a town and God will give you a church. I've told Pastor Bartley he needs to write down some of the events that happened to him. He was in the town of Dennery. I didn't get a picture of this man. But there was a man, they called him, they called him down the street. There was a man in the middle of the street who looked like he was having a seizure, but it wasn't a medical problem. It was a problem with voodoo. Voodoo's a big problem there. He said he saw what was going on. He ran back to his van. He got his Bible. He came back and he laid down in the street next to him in his Bible and was reading to him from the Psalms and reading one Psalm after another. And gradually he calmed down and gradually he came to himself and gradually he got up. And later on that man got saved. Why? Because a man was willing to lay down in the middle of the street next to somebody else. Your goal is not to make them like you. We're kind of arrogant in the Western culture here, North America. We think if the rest of the world was just like us and thought like us, things would be fine. But that's not necessarily the case. Understand that. We need to make people like Christ, not like us. There are cultural differences, ethnic differences. We had a great time in St. Lucia. Let me just go through some things here. How many found me? Oh, look at that. You weren't paying attention to all what I said. I was looking for Pastor Stanford there. Where'd he go? There's Pastor Little, I think. And Pastor Stanford's probably in the back there someplace. That's kind of blurry. But we had the privilege of going there. About 80 pastors, missionaries, Christian workers there. This was in British Columbia. Next year, the conference is going to be in Ottawa, 150th anniversary of Canada. And we have it in Ottawa while Parliament is sitting. The goal to get meetings with our ministers of Parliament while we're there. While we're there, we had the privilege of seeing this young couple. It's Josh and Aaron Towns. We've known Joshua Towns since he was born, since he went through the Christian school, through the college, doing a great job. He's working in Lionsgate Baptist Church in the north side of Vancouver. It's the island of St. Lucia. And I got to go to my... I was sure I put in some notes here about how big the island was. I'll do it from memory. The island, as you see, is down here. Oops. I'm not used to this. There we go. Down here in the Caribbean, just north of South America, it's about as far as almost farther south as you can get down there. And the island would fit in Prince Edward Island about five times. It's not a terribly big island, 50-some kilometers north to south, 20-some east to west. And the church that Pastor Bartley is starting is here in Dennery, here on the west coast. It's on the east coast, about halfway up the island. It's up there. And he lives down here in View Fort in the southern end. You can see the island, the airport is down there. And it's wise for him to live there. It's about 20, 25 minutes between his house and Denver. The roads aren't good. People drive on the wrong side of the road. And people drive like maniacs. And it's a challenge just to get around there. But if he lived in Dennery, he would have people at his house constantly. They would be there all the time. He would have no home. And it's important to have some time away. Now, he's there in Dennery constantly. But he lives down here in View Fort, down there just south of the airport. St. Lucia, 2016. I had to put that there just so I knew what this was. It was hot. I had to show you that I actually did go in the ocean. And behind me is the town that the Bartleys live in back there. And we went down there along the coast, along the water, not just to cool off, but, this is Whosoever Baptist Church. This is the church that Pastor Bartley has. They've done there. They've done a lot of work there to the church. They had a, They had a group there from men's team that did this wall for them. They did the ceiling here. You know what their main building material they use is? Old pallets. They have old pallets and tear them apart and use the wood. His benches inside are made out of old pallets and boards. And this is out just outside the church. We're looking right behind me. You see the wall there is a park that's enclosed by a wall. One of the ladies in the church works his afternoons in the park. Her basic job is to keep the goats and the cattle out of the park and make sure the kids don't cause any problems there. That, of course, is Pastor Bartley there with me. Welcome to Whosoever Baptist Church, John 3:16. There behind me on the wall, these green and white sheets are the lists of the books of the Bible. I said Pastor Bartley is going through the Bible book by book, and not verse by verse, but telling the stories of the Bible. And he puts them up there to remind him. Every service he goes up there and he starts Genesis, Exodus, and has them go through and recite the books of the Bible over and over. Pastor Bartley, this is Mrs. Bartley here on the left playing the keyboard. They have to take the keyboard home with them every night when they are there for service. If they don't, it'll be stolen. Everything there, of course, is 220 volts instead of 110. And they left their transformer there one service, and of course they came back and it was gone. These are benches, a lot of them built out of old pallets that they've salvaged. This is Pastor Bartley leading singing. He's very excited about his song leading. He enjoys it a great deal as he leads singing. He sings out, he sings loud, and he has a great time. And you can see the fan there by Mrs. Bartley, and there's three or four other fans on the wall around the building because it's about 90 degrees in there. And I had the privilege of preaching on Sunday morning, as I said, 20-some people there, and preaching at 8:30 and at 10 o'clock. I preached on faith and hope while I was there. This is the group that was there, or part of the group that was there. I found a friend there. She liked me. And other young people there, there's a couple in that group that have five children between them. Lord willing, they've been saved, and they're going to get married in November, plus some other young people, some stragglers, and some ladies, and we'll meet some of the ladies a little bit later on. Went down to the wharf down in Dennery, and notice on the boat there, "So help me God." You know, there are people who are quite religious, but their religion is mostly superstition. And they believe if they put slogans that have something about God on their boats. Now these are kind of like the dories, only got motors on them. The dories we've used here in Newfoundland, but they'll go out 5-10 miles outside. And of course, the Caribbean is a little bit calmer and warmer than it is up here, but go out fishing. And like here in Newfoundland, there are a constant problem with boating accidents and men being killed out of the sea. There's another one, the Apostle, there, and all their boats were like that. Here we find something that's been going on for centuries. Fishermen cleaning their nets. And they were there and they had some boxes there of some fish and some lobsters and whatever else there. But they would spend a good part of the day cleaning the seaweed and cleaning anything they didn't want out of their nets. And they let us take their picture. There we are back at the water again. And that's a boat that ran ashore a number of years, probably 20-some years ago. And we went out to see it. And that's why I was waiting in the Caribbean. I didn't go swimming in the Caribbean, but I did wait in the Caribbean. Food, always one of my favorite topics. I'm not sure what all this is. I think one of them is breadfruit, and there's something else there. I'm not sure what it is, but food is an important thing. This is the way you get back to a bakery. And you see this trough along there? That's an open sewer. That's the bakery. If you look in the oven there, in the bakery, you can see the see the bread inside the oven there that's being baked. We ate some of that bread. It was very good. We had it for sandwiches at lunch that day. This is Peter's restaurant. If you see the steel rims from tires there, cars, see the steel rims? Puts charcoal in those rims. He has his pans he puts on top of them. And he makes chicken, fish, and bakes. Bakes are pieces of dough. They're kind of like a Towton, only they're deep fried. And we went there once for bakes, and we went to another restaurant for bakes as well. Let me show you another picture of the restaurant. That's it. That's Peter back there. And of course, this is Pastor Bartley. Pastor Bartley here. That was Thursday morning. The power had been out all night. His really was the only place open. So he was running a box office business. He had a great time. It was so busy that he couldn't keep up. So Pastor Bartley went back here behind, and he started helping him. Cooking, taking orders, taking money, doing all that. He saw that back there, you can't really see it here, but beyond where the pallets are, over there, just in there, that's all mud. So Peter's walking, his feet are in the mud. I hope he washed his hands. But the bakes were good. Right across the street from where we got the bakes, there's three men that, actually I think there's four, there's one right directly behind Pastor Bartley, that he had met before and given Bibles to before. And no, he hadn't given, that's what he's doing, is giving it, seeing this one man's hand, our Bibles there. And he went over and talked to them, spent time with them again, and went to the grocery store. Bacon. You see how much the bacon costs? I couldn't live there. $24.99 a pound for bacon. Remember, these are EC dollars, so it's only about $12.50 Canadian. That's a lot of money. Wait till you see the next one. A carrot cake. See how much that cost? $67.84 for one carrot cake. I can live without carrot cake. I'm not sure I can live without bacon. Now again, that's actually only about $35 for a carrot cake. One thing there's lots of in the St. Lucia's, bananas. Inside that blue bag is bananas. They put the bags over them, keep the insects off, protect them. It's a big business, growing, transporting, selling bananas. Those banana plants grow up in 1 year from nothing. They're a plant, they're not a tree. And they grow up. Pastor Bartley, during the hurricane, his banana plant in his front yard blew over. And the stalk of bananas about that big fell over. But they don't waste the green bananas. They use them like potatoes. And they cook them up and mash them up like potatoes. Here we are. This is one of the Pitons. Pitons, a tall pointed mountain, the highest point, about 3,000 feet above sea level to the top of there. And there I am looking at them over a town. This is a town on the west coast of St. Lucia. We went to a place, and it was more of a tourist area. And this little boy came up, and he handed that to Wes. And Wes said, "You got to give me some money." And so I gave him some money. And these little boys, what they do is they make these, and that's a fish, in case you didn't notice. That's a grasshopper. And they'll hand them to you, and as soon as they hand them to you, you've bought them, you got to give them money. And so we gave them money for those. I don't know. I think we left them there. I'm not sure what happened to them. There we are. This is the town of Dennery behind us. This, of course, is Pastor Bartley. And this is Sunday morning. We're on our way back to his home after the service in Dennery. If you look there, you see the big Catholic church right over top of Jerry's head there. A big Catholic church in town. Of course, Catholicism is very dominant there. There's a great distinction in St. Lucia, like a lot of places, between the rich and the poor. We're up in Castries in the north. This is a cemetery. All the rich people are buried in vaults over top of the ground, a lot like they do down in New Orleans or in the southern United States some places. And so that's part of the cemetery of the vaults, and this is where the poor are buried. It's just sand. Believe it or not, there are graves there. They just put the casket down, covered over with sand, and that's about it. Have a rich history. This was the women's dormitories when the British were there back in the late 1800s. There's still quite an influence, of course, of the British there. They drive on the left-hand side of the road instead of the right, and a lot of British there. This, somebody lives in there. We went to visit this place. That's the door. That's the door to get in right there. This is a convenience store. It's kind of got a little bit. This is a convenience store. See the advertisements? Isn't that an attractive place to go buy food? Here we go, Rebecca. Oops. This is a lady from his church named Nora. She lives there. Don't need to say much more about that. That's her kitchen. There she is out on the street. Came down from her house. She's back behind some other houses. We came back down to the street there in front of her house. There's another person's kitchen. There's Jerry in the door with Nora. There's another house somebody lives in. Most of his people live like this. This is Una. Una's a sweet lady. Una can't read. We'll see a picture later on. Mrs. Bartley is teaching her to read. She's the one that has lost part of her foot to diabetes. Walks to church twice a week. Right next to the church is a daycare center. I stopped there and took some pictures, and all the children in the daycare center wear uniforms. All the church children in the schools wear uniforms. There, it's kind of a holdover from the British, I think. And they go through kindergarten through grade 6 or 7, and then they decide what track they will take to continue their education. And if they decide there's a track, there's only so many schools on the island, and sometimes they have to pay bus fare to get to school and back every day. And if you don't have the bus fare, it's just too bad. If you don't have the proper uniform, if you have brown shoes instead of black shoes, they won't let you in school. It's Pastor Bartley. This is in Dennery. And I don't know what he's looking at in his arm there, but if you look here along the road, those are open sewers along the side of the road. There we are in the hardware store. I'm a little warm that day. See the bottle of water in my hand? I drank about 3 liters of water in about 2 hours. But I wouldn't have had to go in because it was a hardware store. I like hardware stores. I met the lady that ran the hardware store. This is Lorraine, another lady that goes to the church. This is Seal. Did I say his name right? Seal. Pastor Bartley had the privilege of leading Seal to the Lord, and Seal had a real problem with alcohol. I'm not sure where he's at with that, but Seal's main occupation is selling coconuts. So he goes and gets coconuts. We're not sure where he gets them. But he gets coconuts and then he sells them. And Pastor Bartley bought some coconuts from him. And you see in his right hand is the machete. His left hand is the coconut. And if I had, I'd show you a video of him trimming the coconut. And it's a wonder he has all his fingers, but he still does. And so they trim the coconut open like that. And it's still a green coconut. It's not like we get the coconuts in the store. And then you get it, you get to take a straw. Now, the St. Lucians, they just take and tip it up and drink it, but we're more sophisticated than that. And so we used a straw to drink the liquid out of the milk out of the coconut. Then later on I have a picture, but he cuts it in half, and then you can scrape out the meat there. This is Mrs. Bartley and Una. She has a reading class going on. She teaches her every Tuesday. She spends about 2 hours teaching her, where Pastor Bartley is out visiting. And Eunice is a sweet lady. She can't read much at all, but she knows numbers pretty good. And so every time Pastor Bartley calls out a scripture reference, she'll find the book and then she can find the verse. And she underlines the verse. And she's underlined the verses because as soon as she learns to read, she wants to go back and read all those verses. I told her that she has to write a letter to me. And so I'm expecting in the next couple months to get a letter from Una. That she's written to me. She doesn't know how to write. This is another house outside. This is a house. There's only about, to the right of there, there's only about 6 feet more to the right. And this is a couple that are in the church. They're the couple I told you that have 5 children. They're going to get married. This house is about 12 by 16. 7 people live there. She counts herself very privileged. You see, she has electricity. And look, the white thing right there, she has her own washing machine. She doesn't have to go down and beat her clothes on the rocks anymore. A lot of them still do that. They plan to be married, as I said, in November. And it just, she lives there. Her mother lives right next door in a house. And she has four or five sisters, and it's a real need in that family. This is a Rastafarian that Pastor Bartley has visited. He has a kind of a little park that we went to visit. And Pastor Bartley had been there a couple times before, and he'd given him a Bible, and this man knew exactly where his Bible was. And when Pastor Bartley, they went and got his Bible, and Pastor Bartley's going through and showing him some verses in the Bible there. Went to leave on Thursday. That's Pastor Bartley's van back there on the back side of the... All that caved in and gave way, and we got down there. There were three men were there with bars and picking up rocks and picking up cement blocks and moving them back, and there was just room. There was some rebar sticking out. We had about that much room to get by the rebar or to tore his tires up so we could get down and see what was going on down at the airport. Again, now all the roads were not like this, but Pastor Bartley, being a man, he saw a road that was covered with water, so he had to drive down it. And so we drove down the road. Thursday morning, about 6:30, we got up and looked out of our window. And if you see here, this is the bay here. See that water back there? That's the airport. That's the landing strip on the airport. We got a report from WestJet that there was 2 feet of water on the runway and trees floating down the runway. That was about 6:30 in the morning. But by 4 o'clock that afternoon, the planes were landing. We got out just about an hour late. Pastor Bartley led a man named Seal to the Lord. Seal wanted to learn about the Bible. He was embarrassed to have Pastor Bartley in his house. And so Seal built this. That's their Bible study shed. And so Pastor Bartley goes every week. Seal's the guy with the coconuts. Sits in that shed with that rusted tin, old tarps. Sits there to cover the sun, and he has Bible studies with Seal. You know, I appreciate a missionary that'll do that. Not the most pleasant place. It's hot there. It's not very nice. But he goes there every week and sits in that shed so he can teach Seal the Bible. Because that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's about taking the gospel to a people. I believe the Bartleys are doing a great job, and I praise the Lord for them and for the ministry that God has called them to. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we ask your blessing as we continue now, as we go into a business meeting in just a little bit, that you would guide each thing now for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take your hymn books, please, and we're going to sing just two stanzas of 656. This is the first and the last stanza. Would you turn the back lights up here for me, please? 656, we have a story. I'm sorry, there's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. 656, stand with me, please, as we sing. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. On the last stanza now, let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light.